Well, according to John, glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, again, welcome on this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. Welcome to all of you here in our esteemed lawn chair section up front, braving the little breeze. Welcome to our choir, which is growing, I see, which is awesome, and I can love the singing this morning, and to our sound techs, and to all of you here in the parking lot, welcome, and to all the people at home watching on the live stream, welcome, and especially to those mothers today, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Mothers are an inspiration and a source of great celebration and love today. And so it's perhaps a good title, a good thing to think about, as Brittany started us off, thinking about what mothers and parents all around really represent in their best forms. Love. The greatest love ever. You know, when I'm working with families, talking about baptism, we talk about the waters of God that will wash and will cleanse and will mark their child with love. And yet how it's not the water that will really be the teacher of the child. The water will give us a mark. The water will give us something to base our faith on. But for that child to learn what love is, to learn what kindness is, to learn what generosity is, to learn what forgiveness is, that's going to take the work of the parents, of the father, and of the mother. They're the ones who will teach the child the meaning of love. And so maybe it's for these reasons that Jesus goes to that parental figure this morning, saying to think of God as a parent. And Jesus calls God Father, calls him Daddy, says Abba. As the Father has loved me, as Abba has loved me, so I have loved you. Putting this love of God, which can be this huge, enormous thing that can be hard to wrap our minds around. It's a love that encompasses everything, after all. It seems so big that it's hard to connect. Jesus says, think of it, if you're having trouble connecting, in a personal way, as that personal love of a parent to their child. As the Father has loved me, so learn to love. This last week has been a fun week in our household at home. Eden has taken off like a rocket with his language and has begun trying out new words and phrases all the time and really starting to string them together. And our favorite new phrase that he can say is, I love you, which he kind of rolls his L's a little bit, and so it's, I rub you, and it's adorable. And it's the best sound in the entire world. And it's probably appropriate, especially today, to tell you that the first time he ever said those words, he was saying them to his mother and to his grandmother. They were the ones who first inspired that phrase of love to come out. I rub you. Sometimes he gets really excited and he shouts it out. Like we should all shout it out when we really feel that depth of that experience. I love you. It's so, so awesome. Like I said, the greatest sound ever. But what does that word mean that we've taught him to say? What does that word mean that we're talking about today? Brittany talked about it. It can be hard to sort of wrap our minds around the fullness of what love can be. Because love holds so much within its arms. Love is so big. We use love to encapsulate so much. Especially as Christians, especially as people of Christ, who Jesus tells us that if you are to be my disciples, they will know you by your love. Love holds so much in our hearts and so much in our lives and so much in our faith. Sometimes it's hard to grasp everything that it holds. Eden's also learning Spanish. And so, along with the English phrase, I love you, he's also learned to say, te amo, which he shouts out sometimes too. Te amo! It's one way of saying, I love you, in Spanish. And I remember when I was learning Spanish, our Spanish professor, she would always complain about the English language. And she would say, you have just one word for love that has so much. You say, I love the sunset, and you say, I love this person. And you expect that word to mean the same, to do the same things. But in Spanish, we have more words than that. We have te amo, but we also have te encanto, te quiero, te adoro. In fact, a lot of other languages have a lot more words for love. That love holds so much meaning that in a lot of languages, they sort of identify different kinds of love, that we sort of wrap everything up into that one word. And sometimes in the English language and in our minds as English language speakers, we put so much into love that it gets so used that we start to forget and really grasp the power that it holds. Holding so much, it can kind of end up just holding nothing and being empty. Being a fuzzy feeling or a nice sound, but not really getting at the depth that would make us shout it out. This is the same thing in the Greek language. There's a lot of words for love. And the Bible uses a number of them. You see sometimes in Scripture, the word that's translated as love is the word that means eros. Or is the Greek word eros. And that's sort of a romantic love. It's a sexual love. It's a passionate love. And then there's the word philia. And that's a different sort of love. That's a love of friendship. And we kind of think of that, if you think of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, this is the sort of friendship love that's talked about at times. And maybe you would think, with Jesus talking about his disciples being his friends, maybe that's the sort of love that he's talking about, but it's not. The word that Jesus is using every time he says love this morning, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I'm giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. The word that Jesus uses is the word agape. It's a God love. It's a love that stretches big. It's a love for everyone. But it's not just that love for everyone that you say and sort of walk around with that fuzzy feeling like the way that we sometimes use love. It's not a love that is so big that it means so little, but it's a love that's more than just a word. It's a love that's more than just a feeling. It's a love that shows up. It's a love that shows up. It's a showing up love. And God shows up in love for you. Jesus is trying to get his disciples to hear this word this morning. God is showing up in love for you. I am showing up in love for you. It's not a love that you chose. It's a love that has chosen you. It's a love that through no good deed of your own, through no benefit of your own, has shown up in your life and has said that you are worthy of love. You are valuable. You are beautiful. You are loved. And it will love you and love you and love you. It's a love that is thrust upon us. And it is the greatest love ever. Now I say it's the greatest love ever because it's the love that comes from the greatest being ever. It's the love of God that we're talking about. And God is the greatest being that you can possibly imagine. Because God isn't just a being, not just an entity out in the universe somewhere, but God is the source of life that is in you and in me and in the trees and in the birds and in every living thing that moves. God is the source of all that life, the source of all that being. God isn't just alive, but the source of life. In God we live and we move and we have our being, and so it's the greatest love ever because it's coming from the greatest being ever. The very ocean of life and love and being that we swim in and live in as people. It's the greatest love ever because it's also the greatest degree of love that can possibly be given. It's a love that knows no boundaries. Now, we can measure love sometimes, and sometimes we get into the habit of doing that. Well, this person loved me more because they gave me a bigger gift than the other person. This person spent more time on their card. They spent more time doing that act of love. This person loved me and showed it. And we often think and sort of start measuring love by how it shows up. And when God's love shows up in infinity. Because the love of God is that love which is breathing into us, creating us each and every moment of our lives. And if God were ever to stop loving, then we would stop being. It's a love that knows no boundaries. It is the greatest degree of love. And that makes it the greatest love ever. It's also the greatest love ever because it encompasses the greatest company in its love, the greatest companions in its love. It's not just love for a single person, not just love for a family member, a father or a mother or a child, an uncle or an aunt, a grandmother or a grandfather. It's not love for a spouse. It's not love for a friend. It's love for the entire world, the whole population of our planet. And not just the people either. And that's a lot. There are billions of people on our planet. Billions. That's a lot of people to love. And everybody that's ever existed before that, that's a lot of people to love. And yet, that's the love of God. It encompasses all of them. All of them. And that's what makes it the greatest love ever. It's the greatest love ever because it makes the greatest act of love. It's not just a feeling of love. Like I said, it's a showing up love. And in the greatest act of love, God gives. God's is love is a demonstrative love. It's not inactive, but it's showing up in our lives over and over and over again. And it's not just giving this greatest act, but it's giving the greatest gift as well. Because the greatest love ever gives us the greatest gift, which is the life of the only begotten Son. Jesus says, I will show you a love that is a greater than anything you will know. And what greater love is this than laying down one's life for one's friends? No one has greater love than this. This is the greatest love ever. Because God gives this gift of a son, this unique and unusual son in Jesus, who uniquely and unusually shows us God as clear as the light of day. And that entire life of Jesus, the entire life of God, is given for us. That God shows that God would give that whole thing up, would go even unto death for the sake of love for us. The love of God is great. It's the greatest love ever. It's the greatest love ever because it is given out to the great with the greatest freedom ever. Elsewhere in Scripture it says, whosoever believes in him. Whosoever believes in him will know my love. It's not restricted to a certain privileged few. It's not an opportunity that you have to qualify for. There are no prerequisites for this love. It is given to whosoever. Whosoever needs it. How many things do you know that are just given? How many opportunities are just there for whosoever? The opportunity to be the CEO of Best Buy is not available to just whosoever. Posting Saturday Night Live is not available to whosoever. Being president is not something that whosoever might just walk up and be able to do. Whosoever, well, that's something different. Whosoever needs this love. Whosoever feels the yearning for this love can have it because it is offered to whosoever. And it is guaranteed. This greatest love ever comes with the greatest guarantee ever. That whosoever believes in the love of God, whosoever believes in the love that is the word of God in Christ Jesus, whosoever believes shall know the promise of eternal life. They shall not perish. They will not experience death. Though they die, they yet will live. There's a lot of things that come with guarantees in our world. You can buy a government bond with a guarantee. You can get insurance, and that'll come with a guarantee. If you contract some labor out, that'll come with a certain guarantee on the labor. If you buy something, there'll be a warranty and a guarantee. But how long do those really last? A year, some months, maybe a decade for the really good guarantees. And even the strongest guarantee that can be offered cannot offer you eternal life. It cannot offer you that it will not perish and that you shall not perish with it. This is the greatest love ever. And Jesus wants us to know this love. Jesus wants us to experience this love. And so on this day, as Jesus directs us to the parent, to the father, to the mother, to God who we know, so that we might know love more clearly. Let us abide in that love and feel it more than just a vague, warm, nice sensation. but as a promise that is concrete, that is showing up, that is repeated, that is available, that is guaranteed, that is powerful. A love that will be there over and over and over and over again. And abiding in that love, let us let the world know by the love that is in us and the love that we can show in our own ways. Amen.
This is the way we are.